going on? This is Joakim Noah, and you're listening to Chicago Bullseye.
Give it all you got, take your very best shot, and may the best team win. The time is now, the name of the game is action. They're on the floor, and they're ready to score, so let the game begin.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome to another exciting edition of the Chicago Bullseye. The season has begun, and to join us here on the Bullseye, we have the great basketball historian, Tim Gallagher. Tim, how you doing, brother?
Hi, Fred. I'm doing well. Another season is underway.
Can't believe it. That offseason flew by so fast, and lo and behold, here we are in the year one of the Bulls rebuild, and a lot has happened since our last discussion. Man, oh man, have you ever seen anything like what happened with Nico and Bobby Portis?
Boy, I can't remember two teammates and having that kind of a devastating impact right out of the gate. Of course, there was the Kermit Washington, Rudy Tomjanovich punch, which there's been a whole book written about that, and almost killed Rudy Tomjanovich. So, a sucker punch, regardless of how it led up to that or whatever happened, is unpleasant. But for two teammates that have been together for a couple years on the eve of the season, and the Bulls roster was pretty thin as it was, and so two guys that were going to be rotation guys, one of them likely a starter, or Nico, to be derailed for weeks, if not longer, in Nico's case, is really disappointing that there wasn't more self-control. And say what you want about competitiveness or, those guys should know each other well enough that it shouldn't have escalated to that level.
I agree 100%. And, at first I was like, Bobby Portis is in danger of being cut. I mean, there are some, I believe, stipulations in the contract which would allow the Bulls to do that. And, I heard he's going to hospital, might be life-threatening, and all those were inaccurate news stories, fake news, for lack of a better word. But it definitely is a serious injury, and Nico did go to the hospital. What did you think of the penalty of 8 games?
I thought that was really light. I thought it would be much longer. And like you said, I wondered if he'd even be welcomed back to the Bulls. It might amnesty him or something. I don't know what all the rules are for, cutting someone under contract and what kind of obligation you have to that, or what kind of ethics or morals clauses or whatever was in a contract. I know that's probably a little bit of shaky ground to pursue something like that with the Players Association and so on, but it's just so inexcusable. And I thought 8 games was very light, and Portis is, in my mind, quite lucky to only miss that many games.
Yeah,
How about you?
I would concur. I did hear John Paxson in an interview on ESPN 1000 with Waddle and Sylvie. And in that interview, I apparently he was there at the practice when this happened. And the only thing I could take from that, and the reason why possibly Bobby wasn't suspended for more, is that it had to be that Nico instigated it to some degree, that he was also at fault, that he had caused, it to escalate for some reason. And that's a possibility that's the only one possibility that could be there, right? None of us were there. We don't know what Nico did in the moments before that. Regardless, the consequences are should be severe. But I kind of agree with you. I thought 8 games is really light, especially considering that more than likely Bobby Portis will be back before Nico will be.
Right. Again, I thought Portis was quite fortunate for only that many games. And I don't really recall a situation quite like this with two teammates, but a player like Portis, who's really kind of barely hanging in there, right, for a rotation spot, and if he doesn't pan out in the next year or two, maybe even an ongoing spot in the league. So, just the Bulls can't afford to have these kind of things happen. And you're right, we don't know what all happened, what led up to it. I haven't seen Portis make any kind of statement on it or apology, or has there been anything publicly stated by him?
I haven't seen that. All I've seen is John Paxson speak, and hopefully that's forthcoming, because we definitely need to see Bobby Portis in front of a camera, apologizing for this incident. I think that needs to happen. It needs to happen soon. Maybe by the time this airs, that will have happened, but I know he was sent home and told not to come back to practice. I'm sure there's probably some limitations of what he can do. But at some point, I hope to see that he shows some sorrow or regret for what he did, and then we can move on from here. But, you know, an incident like this, I don't think we'll ever really be able to be – you'll be able to move on from it, whether it's Bobby or Nico. I mean, one of those two guys eventually is probably going to have to go.
Right, and I saw Paxton's comments, and he seemed quite sincere in that this isn't really who Bobby Portis is. This was a bad mistake, you know, a regrettable thing that he did. I would like to, again, see Portis say something, you know, some sort of public apology, and boy, he better be carrying Nico's bags and buying him dinner on every road trip as long as they're teammates. Even if Nico did instigate it, you just have to walk away from that. Or you and I traded a couple messages. You need a veteran leader on the team, which there aren't many, but someone like a Robin Lopez. And again, this thing could have escalated in, you know, instantly, and there couldn't have, obviously, if there was a way to prevent it, they would have. But that's where you hope a veteran guy also steps in or senses when things have gotten over the line, or the coaching staff says, you know, blows the whistle. And but again, this might have happened just, you know, like a volcano, right? It had been rumbling under the surface, and then boom, it happened. But anyway, disappointing because it's going to be a tough season anyway, and to lose two key players, and then, as you mentioned, just the other layers beneath it of just, you know, what kind of teammates and you know, camaraderie can there really be when this kind of thing has happened?
Yeah, the timing of it just sucks, especially since, you know, clearly last year there were issues with chemistry with, obviously, in one corner, Jimmy Butler and Dwayne Wade, and then the rest of the team on the other side. And then to go through a rebuild, and right before the season opener, something like this happens, is just, you know, some bad PR the organization absolutely does not need. And it's just insane or unfortunate that would happen to the Bulls. And there's a lot of general, I think the reaction has been only the Bulls. You know, this would only happen to the Chicago Bulls. And to a certain degree, you got to agree. I mean, it's just... It's not a good reflection on the organization for something like this to happen. You know, if reports are believed to be true, Doug Collins is furious about it. And if it does lead, there's two things that I think could be good out of all this. Number one, Markkanen is going to get an opportunity that he probably wouldn't have had. And last night he played 33 minutes and he was, you know, had 17 points, 8 rebounds in the opener against Toronto. That would not have happened if these two guys were active on the roster, in my opinion. He wouldn't have started. We all know that. And number two, so, you know, if this somehow jumpstarts his ability to become a better player, great, right? And so that's a good thing that could hopefully come out of it. And number two, if Doug Collins gets greater weight within the organization, and this maybe expedites some needed changes that need to happen, you know, in the long run, hopefully this will be a good thing. But you know, short run, it's just a disaster for the organization.
Right. Well, and I think one of the main reasons Collins was brought in was to improve the culture and to develop, you know, a kind of environment for these young guys. The win-loss record is not going to be pretty, but to develop these young players and the culture and competitiveness. And maybe that's a good transition to get into last night's game, which, you're right. I think as soon as that happened, I texted you and said, well, Laurie's going to get the minutes now, whether he was ready or not. And I think he is ready. Now we'll see how he handles an 82-game season. But to go into a playoff team environment like Toronto and get 17-8 and play pretty well with, you know, and that lineup around him was, you know, looked like the Windy City Bulls to me for the most part. Right. I mean, when I look at the roster, you know, obviously I'm fine with Robin Lopez. I think Denzel has some potential, and he showed some flashes. I think Holiday and Pondexter, if Pondexter's healthy, are very serviceable role players in the league and veterans, but not guys that are going to, if they're starting or getting heavy, heavy minutes, you're going to make the playoffs. You know, I think Zipser is a very serviceable player, too, and we've talked about what a steal he was in the second round, at least as a rotation guy in the league and sometimes starter. Levine, I think, obviously has proven himself, but coming back from an injury, we'll see. But really, beyond those guys, the rest of the roster, to me, is well, I'm not a Nico fan, and obviously I feel bad that he was hurt, you know, with the punch, and is going to be out for a while under those circumstances. But the rest of that roster is really shaky to me. And obviously, if we're seeking a high level pick or a top three pick, or, then I think we're on the right track with who's on the roster.
Yeah, this is what we have to expect. Like I'm kind of at a loss for words on Twitter with all the hand-wringing and, this is such a disaster. Well, yeah, of course it's a disaster. That's what this team was designed to do, is basically lose games so we can get a high pick in 2018. On top of that, you're missing four rotation players. And Zach LaVine, you're missing Dunn, you're missing Bobby Portis and Nico Mirotic. You know, regardless of what you feel about Portis and Mirotic, they are rotation players. So the results of playing on the road on an opener against a playoff team like the Raptors, it's not going to be pretty. So everybody should just calm down and get ready for this. I mean, this is what everybody wanted. And no one wanted to compete. They wanted to do a full rebuild, pick a direction. Well, here we are. You know, I've gone through much worse than this in the Tim Floyd era. So get ready for it. There's going to be a lot of losing. And I just don't understand the general, you know, tenor of the fan base is, oh, you know, this is going to be awful. Yeah, exactly. This is what it's supposed to be. This is what a rebuild looks like. And, you know, Robin Lopez, to that, kind of to follow up on that, Robin Lopez played 31 minutes. The Bulls were a +3 when he was out in the court. He's their only, in my opinion, plus defender out on that court. I also think Dunn is a plus defender. Those are the only two guys, in my opinion, that are above average, that are real difference makers on the defensive end. This team is going to be terrible as far as rim protection, paint protection. It's just going to be horrible as far as when you're trying to stop teams from scoring. So, and Markkanen's too young. You know, Markkanen's just not there yet. He doesn't know. I was impressed with him actually yesterday, and he was in 33 minutes. He was a -2. So, you know, that said, I think the expectations need to be lowered quite a bit because. In a way, it was good news what happened last night. What are your comments on what I had to say there?
Well, I agree, and I think that's going to be a somewhat typical game, hopefully, where they're competing, and you know, with the roster they have, and even when those rotation guys come back, you know, that would be a tough place to win at Toronto or a lot of other places. So, but what my hope is, they're going to continue to compete, play hard, develop the young guys, and somehow find a way to have their confidence not get shattered through the losing, right? And hopefully you've got a mentor in the front office like Doug Collins and someone who's aware of that and kind of can soothe some of these guys and help develop them. And, you know, and maybe they steal a game here and there, right? The ideal is to stay competitive, and then you get in some games where, you know, you're within striking distance, and some of those games are going to slip away and you're going to lose by 15 to 20. Other games, though, you may get close, and hopefully they win enough or win some timely games to keep that confidence level up for these young guys. Because I would love to see them, you know, build around Markkanen, Valentine. If Levine's healthy, you know, build around him. Dunn has a lot to show me still. So, yeah, I understand about his defensive reputation, but I got to see it to believe it. And unfortunately, even in summer league, he was hurt and didn't play much. So I'm still waiting on him. But yeah, if they can follow that formula and then be in the mix of things when it comes to draft time for a high lottery pick, then I would say that's a successful season. You know, certainly not a dream season if you're trying to win championships. But again, we know this is a rebuilding time now, and that's where we are.
Yeah, I want to see the Bulls turn Robin Lopez into a asset at the trade deadline. I want to see Pondexter play himself into an asset at the trade deadline. You know, as many of these guys, maybe even Holiday, who I don't, you know, I know a lot of people are in love with him because he's, you know, he's actually had a nice preseason, but you know, when the lights were turned on for the regular season, he had a horrible game yesterday. I know he had 15 points. He was 5 of 16. That sucks at any level. And you know, 4-12 from three. I'm not saying he's a bad player, but at best, on a decent average team, he's an 8th, 9th, or 10th man. He's not a starter. So if you can turn him into with a contender for a 3-and-D, you know, kind of you know, position him as a 3-and-D guy and turn him into an asset at the trade deadline. That's what I want to see happen. And then, so you'll see the team get worse. But at the, by the end of the season, I hope to see some of these young guys progressing and starting to show some flashes or potential. I think we've already seen it with Markkanen in preseason, especially against the Cavs. And then last night, I thought he looked great too. You know, so I want to see him get better. I want to see Zach LaVine prove that he's healthy and that he'll be ready for the following season. I want to see Dunn. I know you don't believe in Dunn, but in this league, there is a ton of point guard talent. And I think it's imperative, if you want to have a contender, that you have a stopper at that point guard position. And I think he could be that at the floor. At the ceiling, the guy can drive. He's athletic. His big problem is he can't shoot a jumper, right? Hopefully he can improve there. We've seen players, you know, improve at that. So I want to see him.
Right. One thing I thought about as a hopeful output for Dunn at some point is, you know, watching a little bit of the Clippers Lakers last night, and you saw a junkyard dog, Patrick Beverley, just totally frustrate and take Lonzo Ball out of the game just minutes into the game with his physicality and toughness.
Yep.
And so, you know, Patrick Beverley's, you know, certainly not going to light it up on the offensive end. He does make some timely shots, but you know what he brings to the table is toughness and defense. So if Dunn can, you know, evolve into something close to that, then I'm on board. So I'm hoping that's what we start to see from him and develops his shot enough where he's at least, you know, they have to guard him somewhat.
That's what I want to see too. So I have hope for him, and I hope for Valentine. And Valentine was 4-7 from three last night. I want to see him continue at a great pace. And if he could finish over, you know, 40% from 3-point line this year, that's what I want from him, to show some ability to break guys down. And I don't think he had a great game by any stretch of the imagination last night, but 4-for-7 from three is nice. See signs from him. But there's some guys on the team I'm done with already, and one of them is Jerian Grant. I mean, I thought, you know, last year he was so awful in the playoffs when he had this great opportunity. He's 25 years old. It's not like he's 18 or 19. And he comes out in the playoffs last year and just, you know, wets the bed. And then last night, I thought he was terrible for the most part in the preseason, although he did play well in that last preseason game against Toronto. And then last night he comes out and he finishes 3-9 shooting. He gets one basket at garbage time, basically 2-for-8 for in the quarters that mattered, a minus 11. He just sucked. He, as far as I can tell, this guy's only qualification is he's related to Horace Grant. Like, I don't understand why he's getting. What, after last year, wouldn't you like say, you know what, this guy's not an answer? I know the team is short on point guards, but how much more chance is Jerian Grant going to get? And what do you feel about Jerian Grant?
I think when Dunn and LaVine start playing, we'll have seen the last of meaningful minutes for Jerian Grant. So
good. Anybody else?
So hang in there a little longer, and when LaVine and Dunn start playing.
Here's another guy I'm frustrated with.
He'll be all right.
Cristiano Felicio. You know, 2 years ago, when I remember watching these games, and when we still had Gasol on the team, and everybody couldn't wait to get Gasol's starting spot to Felicio. Oh, he's got so much talent. He's so great. And what happens, you know, Gasol goes to the Spurs, leads the league in three-point percentage, actually improves, you know, gets better, adds a skill to his game. Felicio's the exact same player I saw when he was a rookie. I don't see any progress or any improvement whatsoever with this guy. We just gave him this contract. I don't know how you feel about Felicio, but I'm so frustrated with him. And he picks up fouls like every 5 breaths. It's amazing how he picks up fouls. He's another guy. I want him out of here. What do you feel about Felicio?
Well, you're right. There hasn't been the improvement that we had hoped for. He is 25 years old, so even though he's just got 2 years in the league, he's never going to be more than a backup. You know, come in and spell Lopez or whoever the starting center is on occasion. So, he does give a little bit of athleticism on the front line, which the Bulls have been lacking. But you're right, he's foul prone, and you know, again, certainly not going to be a key rotation guy. So. I think what you see is what you get with Felicio.
How about, you know, we haven't talked to him about David Nwaba, and I'm curious to get your take on him as a ball player.
Well, I saw a little bit of him when he was with the Lakers, and he played for the Lakers in the summer league. And, you know, I like the story of those kind of guys. And I see a little bit, we just talked about Patrick Beverley. I can see a little bit of Patrick Beverley and him, you know, just, you know, a guy that, you know, got there through the long road, you know, in terms of, you know, not drafted and, you know, kind of fought his way into the league. No pun intended there, but, you know, a scrappy, tough player and with some athleticism. So I'm, you know, when the Bulls picked him up, it immediately came to mind that, well, he's a guy that's thrilled to be in the league. He's going to bust his butt every minute he's on the court. He's going to compete. And, you know, even if the one loss record is not what everyone ideally would want, he's going to be a competitor. And so I understand why they picked him up, and I think he'll give the Bulls that kind of a contribution this year.
Yeah, when you see that kind of athleticism, it's interesting, Ed. You know, I think he's unfortunately kind of a tweener. I don't think he handles the ball well enough for the point guard position. He's not tall enough for the shooting guard position. Doesn't shoot it as well for the shooting guard position. But, you know, hopefully he can improve, right? He's still a young kid. Where did he go to school? Do you know his history?
I want to say Cal State Fullerton. Let me confirm that. I'm sorry, Cal San Luis Obispo. I knew it was one of the Cal schools out here.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I kind of keep an eye on those schools being out here in Southern California. And to be honest with you, I didn't really have him pop up on my radar, even when he was playing at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo. So, again, I don't believe anyone has ever made the NBA from Cal Poly San Luis Obispo before him. So, yeah. He's certainly a pioneer in at least that that respect. And I know he was a very competitive and highly acclaimed player in the D League, now the G League, and then, you know, worked his way up to a spot on the Lakers roster, which obviously not a real good Laker team, but they thought enough of him also for his competitiveness. And, you know, I know he was well thought of with the Lakers, and, you know, I see a lot of Laker news and all the Laker games out here in SoCal.
Great. Speaking of the Lakers, I had two questions for you. Number one, and this is off topic, but, you know, I've been maintaining for a while now that Luol Deng's contract is an impediment for the Lakers, and they would obviously love to move him. If they're serious about signing LeBron next summer and adding another max deal, they have to move him. In order to do that, I think, you know, a team like the Bulls could say, hey, we'll take Deng's contract, but it's going to cost you Brandon Ingram. What is your opinion on Brandon Ingram as a player? What's your take on him overall? And do you feel like he's the kind of guy who would be worth bringing in a Luol Deng for?
Well, I'm not a Brandon Ingram fan, and I know he had a bad game last night, so, you know, it's not just based on that. But just watching him, you know, and again, he's young, right? He only was at Duke for 1 year. He's quite thin. He played as a rookie last year on a not – very good Laker team, but just something tells me he's just not going to get there. So if I was the Bulls and working on some sort of deal like that, I would say Ingram would be third on my list of guys that the Lakers might consider giving up. So I would go for Randall first, Clarkson second, and although the Bulls probably need more frontline help than backcourt help, I'd say at this point. As far as Clarkson goes, and I put Ingram third on the list, so I would not go out of my way to try to acquire Brandon Ingram.
Really interesting. So you like Randall better. What do you like about Randall more than Ingram?
Well, Randall's a little more physical, a little more tough. He can't score the ball like Ingram. Well, again, Ingram hasn't proven anything yet. Like a lot of these young guys in the league, right? I mean, there's going to be a lot of bad teams in the league this year, just from my sampling of league pass and seeing teams like Phoenix get blown out, seeing the Lakers get blown out. I think Brooklyn's going to be bad again. I'm still not sold on Philly. The Knicks look like the same old kind of team. You know, again, playing at OKC is not easy for anybody, but I just think there's going to be a number of pretty weak teams in the league this year. But as far as the Lakers go, I think they're going to struggle. I know that a lot of people are quite excited with Lonzo Ball. I still think Lonzo Ball is going to get there, but as far as their roster goes, some of these other young guys, Ingram at the top of the list, I am not high on.
Interesting. Thanks for that overview. It's your take on him is one of the few that I've heard it's anti-Ingram. So I'm glad to get a different opinion on that one.
Well, I think physically he's really slight, and he doesn't really look like a guy that's going to put on a lot of weight. And you know, it just seems like he gets roughed up quite easily. You know, and you know, obviously the game's getting more and more physical, and so you know, he's not a pure lights out shooter. I know he's thought of as a scorer, but again, he wasn't at Duke long enough to really, you know, to demonstrate anything significant. And so far with the Lakers, I don't think he has either. And
yeah.
So
again, off our notes real briefly, but I did want to mention this because I'd love to hear your take on him so far. Dennis Smith Jr. has already been, you know, crowned by the vast majority of Bulls fans as a you know, all timer. He's a definite Hall of Famer, according to everybody on my Twitter Twitter line. It's, you know, I just have questions about his durability. You know, I there's no doubt the guy's extremely talented, but he's already had an ACL injury, and as a Bulls fan, that's the last thing I would want. You know, is to bring in a guy with a, you know, already a record of injury history of one ACL tear, because a player like him who's so dependent on athleticism, you know, you get one more injury, and then you know the questions. You know, career is going to be quite different. So, love to get your take on him so far. Obviously, he's played really well in the preseason, in the summer league, and he had a nice game in an opener, although the Mavericks lost. Love to get your take on him.
Right. Well, I am excited about him, and he certainly looks like an NBA talent, and you know, kind of reminds me some of a Damian Lillard type player. But I think what you comment about his injury history, especially for the Bulls, I think it hits a little too close to home to Derrick Rose in terms of a point guard with knee problems, and we saw what that was like, you know, going through the Rose phases, you know, at his peak as an MVP, and then you know, fighting through the injuries and really never returning to the player he was, and his game really was predicated a lot on drives and slashing, and he certainly lost a step. He's still a very serviceable player in the league, but I wasn't upset that the Bulls passed on him. I thought the marketing pick, you know, we've talked about that on past podcasts, and being out here on the West Coast and seeing a lot of Pac-12 games, I love marketing. I thought he was arguably, you know, the top player in the conference, which the conference was loaded, right? You see what the UCLA guys did, or the Oregon guys. Like Dylan Brooks had a really good game for Memphis, and he wasn't even a first-round pick. You know, I don't know if I think he was drafted finally in the second round, but you know, a lot of talent in the Pac-12, and Markkanen was as good really throughout the season as anybody. So I was very pleased with the Bulls pick, and passing on Smith didn't bother me. I think Smith will be a good player, and you know, Dallas got a good one. We'll see how it plays out. Hopefully he stays healthy, but if he stays healthy, I could see him having a, you know, a Damian Lillard type career, you know, which is a nice trajectory.
Yeah, Markkanen already, I'm already willing to say, just based on what I've seen in the preseason in game one, his floor is going to be Ryan Anderson, right? A big man who can stretch the floor and open up space. And his ceiling is Dirk. He's a lot more athletic than I expected. He's got a tremendous amount of athleticism, but, you know, like Dirk, I really hope he has that. You know, Dirk's a great guy off the court, but he also has that level when he's out on the court. It's clear he's a killer, right? You kind of need that little bit of meanness, for lack of a better word. And that's my only concern about Mark. And he just seems like such a nice kid and such a, you know, kind young soul. I just hope he has that desire to just destroy people. You know, I really think you need that to be great, like Jordan had, to go out and just, I want to be the best, and I'm going to do that by kicking your ass. And I just hope he has that. I don't know if he does. You know, he's going to need that if he's really going to be the player that I want him to be, which is, you know, Dirk 2.0.
Well, look at some pictures at Dirk in his first or second year in the league, and he doesn't look like a killer. Trust me.
So, good point. Good point, my friend.
Obviously, he evolved into one, and I was fortunate to see Nowitzki in his coming out party at the Nike Hoop Summit in San Antonio in 97. So I've been a huge fan since that day. But, you know, again, you look at some pictures of him compared to what he evolved into, and kind of a wide-eyed, scrawny kid. And so it took him a little while, too. I would say you compare physically Dirk in his first year in the league and what Markkanen looks like physically first year in the league, you know, Laurie looks more ready to play than the Dirk. You know, I'm not saying he's going to have a 20-year career and, you know, be one of the top handful of scorers that ever played the game or anything, but I'm very, very high on Markkanen for a lot of reasons, and it'll be fun to watch develop. I just, again, concerned that some of these guys don't get too deflated by the losing, but, you know, I'm sure the Bulls front office and that addition of Doug Collins, I think, is going to help with that.
Yeah, just an aside, I wasn't aware of that. So you were at the Hoop Summit. What did you see in Dirk then that led you to believe, oh, this guy's going to be something?
Well, he had 35 in that game, and that was against guys like Al Harrington, Rashard Lewis. I'm trying to remember off the top of my head what other players were there. So now they play it up in Portland. They still have it, where they get a lot of the top foreign players of high school age or late high school age against, you know, top kind of the McDonald's All-American, you know, cast of guys, basically. So I'd really not heard of Nowitzki then. Again, consider 20 years ago, you weren't hearing as much about some of these Euros earlier on in their careers, like you hear about a Luka Doncic now, who's, you know, is going to be a lottery pick next year. So he was a little under the radar, even for me.